Our guest is Ben Gomez-Caceres. His newest book is this one, Remix Strategies, The Three Laws of Business Combinations. It was published by Harvard Business Review Press. Ben is a professor at the International Business School at Brandeis University. He previously was a professor at Harvard Business School, and prior to that, he was an economist at the World Bank. Ben consults with companies seeking to create value from external resources and to improve the way they manage business partnerships. Ben holds degrees from Harvard University, Princeton University, and Brandeis. And you can look Ben up on his website, remixstrategy.com. Ben.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, Larry. And thank you for having me at the seat of the table to join your table. I look forward to having this conversation with you. We have a little case which I handed out, and folks read it. It's short, and it shows an opportunity. And I think what I'd like to do is just sort of think about how do we approach this opportunity. If this were coming to our board, I realize not every opportunity of this size rises right away to the board level, but let's think about how we should think about this possibility of doing something with an outside company that has something that is valuable to us. Clearly, we always have some choices around that. And we can talk about what the terms are, what the kind of conditions are that we would look for in this situation. And I realize it's a slimmed down version, so if there are more facts that you want to know, obviously you can ask, but I'll throw it open.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Again, you're the board.
Yes, you're the board.
Ben is the chairman of the board.
Right. So you're the board of the medium-sized medical device company, right?
Can I ask some questions?
Yes, please.
Chairman of the board?
Yes.
So I'm going to assume that we're talking about BoneTech because in your view, as the CEO, I don't know who's the CEO down here, mm-hmm. if I was the CEO mm-hmm. and the chairman of the board, you mm-hmm. think strategically it might be interesting to do something. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is, can you fill the rest of the board in on, one, what is your thought process in this? Are you thinking of a purchase? Are you thinking of a JV? Are you thinking of a licensing agreement? If we want this technology, what exactly is your thought process and how does it fit in with our long-term strategic needs in the company?
Yeah. Well, what I can say is that our long-term strategic needs is to somehow work with the kind of technology that this company has. We have tried to develop this kind of technology as a particular physical product that gets implanted, and we have failed to develop that ourselves so far. They have it. Now, what we do with them, whether any of those choices that you describe, I think I'm really up for ideas now, because I think we could go some sort of partnership route. We could perhaps try to buy them, I suppose. And it would be useful to understand from the board what guidelines you would think I should have.
But let me try and frame my question a little better, because I needed more detail back from you.
Okay.
Because all you did was give me back what's in the case.
That's sort of,
so we need more. We need more.
Okay.
Does the CEO or the chairman have
the board right needs to know.
Yes.
More facts about, if we did something with BoneTech, what mm-hmm. would we really do? Is it better to have, I think we need to hear from our CEO to understand, in his view, is it better to own, to lease, license technology, to do a JV, what is management's view of the pros and cons, and then how would we finance whatever we would do, and have you thought about the impact on our financials as well as the business?
Well, yeah.
Business question, financial question.
Okay.
I just want to get from the
CEO. Ellen, would you forgive me if I just ask one question in the middle? So do they have patents?
Yes.
Yes. It says that.
Well, it says it didn't violate the rivals.
They have patents. They really have a very unique approach to this, which they have secured patents on. At the same time, they are not even a startup, but basically they are two or three people. They don't have a plant, and they haven't really gotten a commercial operation going.
And the two or three people, are they engineers?
Founders, engineers, very smart
people that basically invented this stuff, and that's where they are.
They prepared to move to the U.S.?
No, that was not an issue. We can. I mean, is that so? I really am. Maybe with all due respect, I'm here to get advice from the board.
Because, we need a little more information from the CEO.
Well, the information is pretty much what's okay. There in terms of the way I think about this are the resources that are there, the resources we have, and the combination we're trying to create. Whether or not it's better to do a joint venture or an acquisition or a license or something else is something that I really would like some discussion on and understand what your perspectives are on that.
I think Ellen's point is actually quite profound.
Yeah.
Because, the CEO shouldn't be going to a board and saying, here's the problem, what do you think?
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
The CEO should be saying, this is what I think, you tell me where my logic is. So I'm gonna pick one, okay?
Okay.
We do not want to own an Israeli company. Are you kidding?
Right.
Life is too short.
Okay.
We do not want to own a company like this because we really don't understand the technology. We really don't understand the risks, and we want to. But we want what their product is. So my recommendation is we have an agreement. We will give them a certain amount of money in return for that we get the use of their product, and we prevent them from selling to two of the companies that we identify as our biggest competitors. And that the life of this is 10 years, which in our industry is a long life. But I don't think we should buy this company. I'm not even sure I want them as a strategic ally because I can't control them. But a contractual relationship, that's fine. That's my recommendation.
So we need to hear from management.
Yes. Can we have discussion on that? Or yes. Thank you.
Should have an option to buy them, though.
An option to buy? You don't want to own them, but an option to buy.
But if if this gets mixed in and it delivers the entire package, this could be quite a spectacular product in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any conversations with BoneTech about this?
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm. What's their perspective?
We did talk to them about the idea of buying them. And in fact, one of our rivals had that conversation with them earlier also, and that fell through, and they don't seem to be too anxious to sell. Mm-hmm. So you're consistent in that sense.
Did they express what they may be interested in?
They would like to find a way to get their product into the market, and we are one of the channels for that, and they would like to use some relationship with us as the way to do that. Short of selling to us, or if they were to sell, they probably would put a price that we may not want to pay.
I'm curious. I think we all understand that FDA approval is a long process. We can be talking up to 10 years. How far along? If this has to be all approved by a system of a surgical kit and delivery system and the actual physical device, that I would imagine that the clock starts ticking when you bring all three together, which could be up to 10 years. What do the company finances look like at this point in order to bear not only some sort of cash investment in some sort of licensing or whatever we come up with, to carry us through? What does the product line look like now? What does the existing revenue look like?
Mm-hmm.
That we can weather the storm to get through a 10-year process.
So on the timing, and I hope this is realistic, it's not as long as that. We expect that once we get this product fitted into our way of delivering it, that we could get within a matter of years, we could get this on the market, a few years. We are a fairly robust company. I mean, we have other products also. So we can weather that period. This company, of course, is brand new. They don't have anything. So to the extent that we're waiting for them, I mean, they don't have the resources to. We would have to support them in a way during that period.
So we're talking about on top of whatever funds it would take to get involved with them, if any,
yeah.
That we'd have to invest $15 million capital investment plus all the folks associated with getting
there would
running.
Have to be a plant somewhere, and
right.
and
mm-hmm.
either they find the capital for that or we help them with that is what we could do.
And would we be planning on starting that prior to getting FDA approval?
Yes, we probably start parallel.
It just strikes me that the proposal is so different from what this firm is accustomed to doing.
Uh-huh.
And so it sounds like they've decided to drop their own initiative to develop a bone implant
yeah.
for joint replacements.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just kind of moving on and continuing in
mm-hmm.
medical device development,
mm-hmm.
They're going to develop a completely new undertaking
mm-hmm.
to leverage their skills and experience,
mm-hmm.
but it is a completely new business undertaking, and I just wonder, is this a fairly common arrangement in the healthcare industry, to
I could say that this is not so far removed from other products that we have, so we are in the general space where this particular implant thing would play.
What you're doing is managing a relationship
yeah, totally.
With a group, as we've heard them
yeah.
described,
yeah.
could be a rather dramatic challenge.
It could be, and in fact, that is a new thing for us. So we, as a medium-sized company, haven't done a lot of these, certainly not with the small Israeli company. So this would be new.
So the question has to be, do we have the people in the firm
mm-hmm.
who we could take out of the business
mm-hmm.
and just have the sole responsibility of dealing with this undertaking? And this will be like a new division of our firm,
mm-hmm.
because we may have resources for doing marketing, FDA approval management,
mm-hmm.
Cash raising, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
but that's, to me, that's almost a non sequitur.
Yeah.
You would assume that that's there. What you're proposing, or the case is proposing here, is to really throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into what we do. With the promise of a bit of a gold ring.
Yeah.
But why haven't we thought of doing this before? There's a whole world out there if we think that we can set up a standalone business to help startups or entrepreneurs
yeah.
launch products that look viable.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not without having done alliances of various sorts. We have done that kind of thing.
Okay.
At the same time, this is a more salient product. I mean, we think of this as a market that can have potential, and that is an important competitive space for us to be in. So in a way, the importance of this particular deal maybe more than what we've done before. And what I hear from you is that we better have the right people on it and organize this in a way that makes this a successful partnership if we're going to go that route
I was just wondering, how specialized is a surgical kit? Is this something that we do in-house with the drug delivery system? Or, because it says the technology is unique, does BoneTech have to partner with yet another company
yeah.
that makes a specialized
We can do
kit,
all the rest of the stuff. Also, there's this one particular gizmo that they make. In
so
a
not just
way.
The bone, they do the surgical.
No, we do that. We're good with that. We can do that. We know how to do that. We have the capabilities for that. It is this one particular metal piece that they have a way of designing.
So the $15 million would cover the specialized surgery.
The $15 million would be what a plant would cost. This is probably our
right.
estimate for
yeah.
creating a commercial production of that particular specialized piece. It's not for the whole business. It's not for the rest.
Right.
Of,
just
what you
just for that piece.
Just for that piece, which we need in order to then package it together with the rest of what we do, which we are able to do. None of this is a commodity, but we're good at it, and we can do all. We feel we can do all that.
It seems like, as you say, if you get over, they clearly don't have the FDA experience.
Right.
They don't know how to manufacture. To the extent we can enter into some sort of a licensing deal, where our CEO really does believe
yeah.
that the market is big enough for all that.
Yeah.
It seemed that we'd be leveraging off of some of our competencies.
Okay.
To bring this in.
So it sounds like some sort of alliance licensing, not an acquisition.
Ellen was going down that path.
Yeah,
I'll
say that too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get into consensus on this.
Yeah.
So you have the end,
right?
We'll come back.
Yeah.
Well, a couple things that
yeah.
haven't been called out, and
yes.
I think they need to be identified so
yes.
we can have a full understanding of the undertaking. So $15 million for a commercial plane.
Yeah.
That's a big check. It's a big element. Also hidden in here was the component in commercial qualities is not yet produced and or available. So
right.
that's
yeah.
a huge risk that
yes.
may or may not be within our control. I'd like to understand
yeah.
that a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to bring this technology to market, the clinical trial is going to be lengthy and expensive.
Yeah.
Reimbursement, more often than not, is going to be a challenge. So the cost of getting that through, you know, category three to category one, RUC surveys, there's expense involved there. So there's other multifacets to this that go far beyond the 15 million. And we identify what those big elements are, and therefore what we're really signing up for.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. What I would say is we've identified it. I don't have the numbers for you here, but we're good at it. We think we have that part really under control. It is not that different from the kinds of things we've done before, and so we really need this one piece from the Israelis, and then we are able to package this in a way that we have reliably done before. So I see the point that it's important. We feel there's less risk with that. There is more risk with whether they're able to produce this commercial thing, right? Which it hasn't happened before. So that risk, I think, is going
to
be.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to just point out, though, because I think that this is a rather subtle but important reef under the surface of the water here. Because to get back to my concern, I look upon this as requiring a skill set that we haven't demonstrated yet, and that's the ability to herd cats.
Yes.
And I say that because I once spent a number of years at a firm where they had a policy not to hire PhDs.
Okay.
And the reason they wouldn't hire PhDs, and we did a lot of research in our firm, is that the senior management felt that you never knew what those guys were really doing.
Mm-hmm.
You had meetings with them where you told them that, now here's the agenda and here's the priorities, and everybody agreed to it. And then 6 weeks later, you discovered they were working on something entirely different. And it strikes me in the sentence that you point out that, you know, they haven't demonstrated an ability to produce this in commercial quantities. These three guys who you described may be brilliant researchers who could care less about this.
That's absolutely true. We do know that they have done, you know, they produced some quantities of it. So they have a production
methodology. Right, because that's
methodology.
To demonstrate the...
to demonstrate the viability.
Yeah,
so they do have that, but it's a risk. It's true. I mean, when we get into this relationship, we don't know exactly what the PhDs are doing. In this case, I think that they're all the way in Israel. They speak a different language and whatnot, right? So, Bruce, you have your...
Yeah, just a quick question. Because we're taking as a given that BoneTech has developed their product and didn't infringe on the patent of our main rival.
Yes.
How comfortable and certain are you about that, and that that would stand the test of time once the rival finds out what's going on?
Yeah, I would say we're certain of that. Our lawyers have looked at it, and the patents have been filed and approved, and there hasn't been any reaction from the rival, as there were when we tried to do the same thing. So in this case, it doesn't look like that's a big risk for us. We're more worried about the how do you manage these Israeli PhDs than we are whether or not that particular patent is going to be upheld.
Well, our company has some significant sunken costs. That's pretty clear in our product. So they're the answer, potentially, to that.
Mm-hmm.
Little concerned about a licensing deal, because at the end of the day, we don't own anything. Unless, you know, to me, it should be a joint venture, that both products should be contributed to the joint venture. Whatever cash is going to be, you know, is going to have to be put in, we're going to have to work that out. But if something goes awry, we better be owning this thing going forward. If Mike's right about the relationship problems and we've got to replace them, we want to own the patents.
Yes, right.
So I'd propose more of a
joint propose
venture.
That if we do some sort of, a joint venture is a particular way of managing that relationship with that we're putting our assets into a jointly owned entity, which they then also jointly
own. Yeah, but
we're
going
to
manage.
We're going to manage, and that would be a way to protect against us being high and dry after they don't work.
Well, and the technology gets contributed.
The technology gets contributed.
So
put it into a joint venture and donate the technology there.
So I want to support the CEO on this, though.
Okay.
Because I actually feel very strongly
that
based on everything we've heard, licensing is actually the only way to go for the following reasons. We have described a lot of risks here. There's risks to us, there's risks to them. They are not a proven entity, but we think we want their product. An easy way in with less risk to been waiting for the day, God forbid, something should happen. So your, what you described as a risk, I absolutely agree, but there's a way to kind of protect against that and follow the recommendation of the CEO, which is a more useful way of working with our own cash constraints and protecting our own risks and getting the most advantage
situation. Since we're co-board members, we're not getting into a spitting contest, but the problem with the license agreement and IP and escrow, being an attorney, unfortunately, I've seen it too often, as you get into a litigation about when the escrow could be broken, was there in fact,
has to be clear, I agree with you.
So I'm just trying, from the very beginning, we're talking about, I think you just said, we're simultaneously going to be spending $15 million while we're waiting to see if we get through the FDA, because if we get through the FDA, we got to be ready to produce. Well, you know, I don't want to be fighting over, you know, who owns what when. I'd rather us be in it together. Okay. So that's just me.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. We'll go there in a minute.
I've been involved in licensing deals, and I mean, when I look at this, we have a company here that has no cash, so short on cash. They have three guys in the garage. And you don't license that type of thing from a guy with three guys in a garage. You license technology from an established company that can support it and continuing to develop the technology over time and has the money. So I don't think, I have to support my fellow board member and I have to resist that recommendation. JV, I think JV makes sense.
JV.
Because we need to put things in.
So the I think an issue we're going to find, if we're, and we can go back to them with this idea, they are very possessive. They're very jealous and possessive about their really good invention that does not violate the market that is dominated by others. And they didn't want to sell easily, and I don't know whether they'll easily want to put it in escrow or even form a joint venture. And if we do form a joint venture, then we are in a joint venture with them. We are saying, we don't know how they operate, whether we want them or not, and now we're going to have, what, 50-50 or some, no, maybe not 50-50, okay, 51, 60, whatever, but we're going to be in a relationship with them that has a, you know, a common entity, and that will be a risk in and of itself. So that's if they decide they were willing to let go of their piece and put it in there.
Right, right. So given the high failure rate of JVs, my personal view is either buy it or license it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, if we feel too strongly about the position we can get with it, then we have to go back to CEO and say, can you make it work if we buy it?
Okay.
I don't know what the right answer is.
Well, I was reading an academic study that said, yes, there is a high failure rate of JVs, but M&A isn't that cool either. And in fact, just about every other entrepreneurial thing that you do in business has a certain amount of risk. And so there's a high failure rate, even higher for our own product introductions. So whether or not that, this is just like
that. Could we structure it in a way that we mitigate our risk and we set a milestone? And along the way, as we're knocking down our risk, we're willing to pay.
We're ready to pay more.
And let's negotiate up front what the end price value is. So that we're not creating value that we're having to pay for later.
Okay.
We're saying, hey, you have no money.
Yeah.
We're here today, and we say, if this works, we feel the value is X.
Okay.
Whatever X is.
All right.
But along the way, here's critical milestones: reimbursement, clinical trial.
Maybe that's where we should go. I'm going to ask for a consensus.
What are
Phone
Tech's other options to get this?
What are their other options? That's a good question. As I mentioned, they were under conversations with our main rival. That wanted to buy them and didn't for somewhere around $400 million. They did not settle the kind of price. Presumably, there are other competitors in this general space that we're not going to get into. And so, presumably, if not us, it could be somebody else. I would think that they would have that option. Just as a general.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Question to the CEO. Of the three options you laid out for further licensing, how do you feel about either a JV or a purchase? Because then you would be dealing with them from a management situation. How do you feel from an operating standpoint? You share with people in your views.
The control part of me is attracted to the purchase idea. But I kind of, these are entrepreneurs, they're Israeli. I'm not sure how much we can control them. And if they should leave, we really don't have the resources to, we need those two people happy. I've been trying to focus on what's their exit strategy. Their exit strategy is grow the business and sell the business. So my thinking is, let's get in bed with them now through the easiest way possible, which is a contractual arrangement, with the understanding that if this thing works, we want to give you the best and highest price.
Fair enough. All right, so can I? Yeah, I mean, let's take that as the next step, and I'll tell you what we did. And
well, I just was thinking about going back to the existing company. What's the walkaway position? I mean, what happens if we can't get this deal done? Is this critical?
Our walkaway?
Yeah. What happens if we can't do this?
It's an opportunity. It's a good question. It's an opportunity. The market is moving in the direction where it would be good to have this kind of technology. Our competitors, as I said, are doing that and have a strong intellectual property position on it. So it's an opportunity cost. I mean, it's not as if we will suddenly be at risk, but this is the kind of strategy we have pursued that we would like to be able to grow in, and we've not been able to do it because we haven't been able to develop that critical piece of technology.
Just want to make sure we're not too emotionally invested in doing it.
Fair enough.
That we
yeah.
overlook whether it's a good deal or not,
yeah.
and these things.
Because yeah.
we can gloss over those
yeah.
if we're not really paying attention to how does
yeah.
this deal really
work. Well, let's get concrete. So the CEO did take all of your comments into advisement. And side B will tell you the deal. And I can... Brian has recognized it already. He's in the industry. Well, let's not declare that yet.
Yeah.
But let's have a conversation. What are the points that you like or don't like here? I mean, this is the best we could do. We didn't create a joint venture per se, and we, as I said, tried to buy them. They didn't want to sell except for a very large amount. And so we have this basically a supply exclusive supply arrangement where we set up the plant for them, and they supply it. How does this look?
An emotional deal.
Sorry?
The CEO was emotional.
Yeah,
what? So I read it.
Well, what's...
No, Larry was emotional.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Larry, sorry. Larry, you got very emotional.
Oh, not this one. What part of it?
Oh.
What part of it is...
I mean, we basically gave away the store, right?
Why?
So we have the right to sell our product, but we don't have the right to make it.
Yeah.
The... transfer price, I can't comment on. I'm not from the healthcare business, but it seems like high transfer price. We're making the production line in Israel, so we've lost some more control. We've invested $40 million, $15 they get right away. So you've now taken founders who were once hungry, and you fed them so much now that they're like a greyhound. They have to keep, you know, vomiting while to get hungry again. So it's and we ended up with 20% of the company.
Yeah.
I'd call that emotional.
And
emotional.
We had to invest so much in
a
hedging strategy that may never be used.
Sorry, say that again?
We had to invest money to bring up another alternative line and invest in that we might
never use,
just to control the behavior of this other plant.
And there was no tie-in to FDA.
Well, because we felt that it's a single source there.
Yeah. So we spent money in a way that was non-productive dollars.
Non-productive dollars. Would you rather that we don't have an alternative line? That was something we put into it. It's not common.
Mm-hmm.
We put that in.
should be one of the certain amount of protections.
I kind of like the idea that we would have the ability for a clawback on the IP for non-performance. But then we'd have no plant, but we could take the plant and take over the plant.
Yeah.
I'd rather do with language rather than cash upfront.
Okay. Other thoughts of how this looks?
Oh, I mean, we had two guys who created a technology, but now they have to create a manufacturing plant.
Real company.
I mean, this is a huge change from, you know, what we were talking about, which was we're going to do a JV or a license, you know, and kind of do it on our own. I don't know if they have the capability to do all this stuff.
So the risk is whether or not they'll be able to even supply the product we need.
Operational experience is giving.
Exactly, given that they've never manufactured to scale, I mean, all the core competencies we talked about that we had.
So better not to have done this deal, maybe. You don't like it?
No.
You don't like the deal? You want to spend a billion? They wanted about a billion. They wanted about a billion if we were to buy it. They were not ready to give the IP. They simply, that's it, they're not doing it.
Honestly, 1 through 6isn't so bad. I mean, it's items 1 through 6 remind me of a licensing supply arrangement type of thing. So where I find it intriguing is think about the valuation that has been just thrown out, created on this company, what we're paying and investing for a 20% stake in a company that based on side A.
Yeah.
We think they have a technology, and the question is, what is the value of that technology? We put a very high number on it. Now, in fact, if it creates, if we think the market's huge, the information on
it. Well, so you're saying $200 million is a high valuation?
It's a huge
valuation. The previous negotiations that they were having was around $400 million to buy the company with our competitor. And that was not enough. That was not enough for the Israelis, the $400 million. So they do think of this, and when we did approach the idea of buying them, they mentioned a billion with a B. Okay, so just so you know, the market
is multi-billion.
It is a huge market. Yes.
Multi-billion.
How'd they do? Did I miss that? How they did?
No, didn't.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, well that better explains. I see. I
company.
All I know is that I worked with an Israeli company, and they're tough negotiators.
They're tough negotiators, and these guys are certainly like that. Okay, so you said 1 through 6 you like, but then the valuation part.
1 through 6, I like it or not, I understand it.
Yeah.
And it can work if the CEO of the company feels it works and works well.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all understand the risk. Where I get excited is the valuation seems incredible, which is why I agree, comment over here.
Yeah.
But I
would agree with all of what you said, and I think to make it work, like you said, you know, dole the money out by checkpoints, and if they don't meet their threshold, you get more and more equity.
Yes, that's a great idea.
That solves your 7 and 8.
We should have considered the end stage.
The end stage? We should consider the end stage.
Work our way back. It's still ambiguous to me as to if everything goes marvelously well.
Yeah.
What's the end state look like?
Exactly.
And if everything goes completely horrifically wrong, what's the end state?
Right.
And I don't think we have.
It doesn't look like we have that. And as far as I understand this.
And any contract should, or any JV should take all that into consideration up front.
Okay.
To be able to mitigate risk.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Knowing that it can go well or bad, but either way.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else that hits you on this, and then I'll tell you how it's working out, and you will actually tell us how it worked out in a minute. We'll get there. We'll get there. Let me roll it out for you.
So the Israelis thought that the company was worth $1 billion.
That's what they threw at us.
And a competitor thought it was worth $400 million. And for $40 million, we have 20% of it now.
Yeah.
So if the competitor was right that it's worth $400 million, then you know our buy-in wasn't that bad.
Right.
Assuming it works.
Calibrated. I didn't put it in a billion-dollar opportunity.
Assuming his patents are good.
Assuming the thing works. Okay. So in the interest of time here, let me move you along. Let me move you along with the next piece of paper, which has again a side A and a side B. Do not look at side B yet. And once you see side B, you're not even have to read it. Side A will tell you how it's working. Okay. How
how it's working, about, you know, 3 years in, what's going on, and then you can evaluate Larry's CEO tenure on this thing.
I think I'm going to need an outplacement consultant. Does anybody know anybody?
Okay, just site A, just site A. All right.
That's an understatement.
Sounds fun. Yeah, it's an understatement.
Why wouldn't they nominate a member to the board?
I don't know. I really don't know. This is just actually the case that happened. Yeah, you'll want to be there. I think, as Mike, as you originally said, if we're going to do this, however we do it, we better put the people, the resources, the attention to do it, because it's a different kind of animal, especially because it's a very big market. We should do that, and I think we failed in that, actually, that we didn't do that. There are a lot of tensions.
There's a lot of Paul Harvey here. There's a lot more to the story.
I'm sure there is. I mean,
he's going to tell us the story.
But I mean, the point is to have you think about this without fully having the whole story, which we're going to have in a few minutes, right? So what strikes you here as what we did wrong, I guess?
Well, number three tells me we should have done it, not to be self-serving, but we should have done a JV, not a license agreement, or not a supply agreement, because in a license, there is no, unless it's structured differently, there is no benefit to sharing information. What am I going to put them in business for when the license runs out?
Right.
The next generation.
So it's understandable that there isn't this kind of cooperation in the engineering. There's no buy-in there. Yeah.
And I think to your point, you know, looking at the issues they had, the lack of experience in manufacturing.
They're falling behind. I mean, they do deliver the thing.
Yeah.
We got it approved.
Yeah.
It's covered. The market actually is booming. We're okay with that, but we have constant backlogs, and they're not able fully to fulfill demand. It's part of the problem, but you know, stuff is coming out.
Transfer price killed us.
Transfer price, in what sense? They're making a 20% margin on the thing they're making. We're making a 7% margin on the stuff we're making, even though we're getting 70%, so 70% of 7 leaves us, with the short end of that stick in terms of the pure profit. And the question is, how does one think about sharing value here, right? Well, I think, you know, this is a general question. I know, is this unfair or not unfair?
Exactly.
Anybody know a good outplacement consultant?
Why didn't the CEO nominate someone on the board?
Yeah.
I really don't know. Maybe we have an answer later on. From the documentation that I've seen.
Let's ask the CEO. What was the rationale for not putting someone on the board?
I refuse to answer on the grounds.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this before we turn the page?
Yeah. So it does say business in the first few years, businesses were good, even though we've been making a small amount. How much of our original investment have we actually had paid back in this? What's been our return on investment?
That's a good question. I haven't calculated that. My guess is that $15 million is probably getting a good return. You know, we want more.
Right. Understand,
but
we always want more.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious as to,
it's not the 15, it's the 40.
Plus something or
not? Yeah. Right. 40.
Yeah, but what about the 40?
Yeah, not the 15.
Yeah, the 40. Yeah.
It's a 40 plus the 15.
Well, plus there's
the 40. The total amount.
Oh, yeah, it's 15, 25. Yeah, 40.
My guess is that if we could get this thing to work, we're certainly on a path to making up the 40 and more. If this thing grinds down the way it looks like it's grinding down, then
it just depends on how much they sold. So that's the question.
Can we turn yet?
Let's turn and then read that, and then we will actually. But read it carefully. This is different than what you think, except for Brian, who knows the case.
Mm-hmm.
field day.
Yes.
Hope you made it, Max.
Actually, funny yet sad thing is after this deal.
Whoa. We got there. Okay, so again, without getting into, Larry is gone by now.
Yeah.
Larry is gone, and there's a new person there who had to make a funny phone call to the Israelis to say that this thing is happening in Ireland that he didn't know about or such. That was true. That's fine. But what... having seen this outcome, again, I try to keep the identity out because I think there's a conceptual thing we want to understand without immediately knowing the personalities may be involved, right? So what went wrong here? Everything went wrong, but I mean, could this have gone better? I'm here to tell you that there are ways to manage alliances and deals and mergers in a way that actually adds value to the company, right?
Yeah, but
in this case,
it is, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So what happened? Yeah.
Well, I think this is a classic problem of like locks on doors that keep honest people honest. I mean, how are you supposed to structure a deal knowing you have a thief? I mean, there was obviously another plan that going on behind the scenes.
You mean we're the thief here?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I was, couldn't.
They weren't.
Be careful here. We went in with good intentions and created this deal and we weren't getting the supplies we needed.
Oh, I see. Good point.
Tried to jointly develop stuff but frankly we always felt like we needed this technology ourselves.
And now we know why that we didn't have a board member. Of course, we didn't elect someone to the board.
Why?
Because they could claim that we had confidential information from them.
And use it against us
to prove what we did was.
It turns out we had a lot of information from them. We did visit their plants, they visited our plants.
Yeah, that's different.
From the actual board seat. I mean, at an engineering level, we were seeing what they were designing, we were seeing what they were doing, we were seeing what machinery they were putting into the alternative plant, and then we, had our own approach to how we might want to capture that technology.
If you could just clarify one thing for me.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the difference is between the secret line that they set up and their ability under this provision number 6 to set up their alternative line since they weren't getting a full supply from Israel.
Right, so the alternative line is one where we said, here it is, it's mothballed, so it's not running, and we agreed together to start running it when it turns out that you're not able to meet supply.
Which they weren't doing.
We didn't come to that point. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we were basically using what we were seeing there as a way to develop our own line or at least our own technology.
And not sharing the fact
that we did that, or at least that's just not a fully functional line. It actually never actually produced anything that became commercial. It's a matter that we were, in a way, developing, piggybacking on the technology without that being part of the agreement.
I think the problem is what we talked about originally, operationally, we're going to do this, we have to get it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't do it half-hearted.
Do it right.
And they were trying to do it,
You can't do it through a contract of this sort.
Yeah. So you were just saying, okay, you go.
Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah.
And then we'll do this and you do that. We'll somehow merge the two.
Well, that's sort of, that's what they said, right? Yeah. You do it and we do it and the accountability over there and then we have some rules for, if you tell us too late, then, we have to pay you more.
Let me be timekeeper. We've got
yes, we
minutes.
Are timekeeper. I'm sorry to rush you through so much. Let's shut this off.
Okay, so we can shut this off.